Okay. So tell me your name.
My name is Jim Hudson.
And tell me a bit about your history with the Queen's Own Rifles.
I started in 1960 in Calgary, basic training, 100th Platoon, Centennial Platoon. And after that, we go into battalion. I went in A Company, and Sergeant Hiroshin was, he was my sergeant. Went to Wainwright, half of Wainwright. They put me on a working detail to Thule Air Force Base, Greenland. We're sending supplies from beer to building a house, and we had diesel fuel in the Hercules, 72 barrels, and we had 4,800 barrels of diesel fuel to send up to them. Then after that, I went to Germany for the 1st Battalion and came back with them early 64. And then my time was up, or 63. My time was up in 64. I got out because it was boring. In Jericho Beach, Vancouver, where I joined up, that's where you finish up signing off. The fellow that swore me in, Curly Donald, I knew him when I was a little boy, you know. And he says, don't, because he knew what was happening when it changed around. And so I re-upped in the PBCLI. But I was with him all the time, drove him around. And where I was kind of under the net, you might say, the radar. And went to Cyprus, Indochina, and back and forth. And then I got out, because you saw firsthand over in Laos, because Indochina was Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. And so when I come back, I joined the American Army, 1st Cav, Fort Benning, Georgia. In 1970, stepped off the plane in Saigon, and I stayed 3 tours in Vietnam. I was with Air Cav, and I was a door gunner. And then the next tour, I was on ground. We say, Queen's Own, a rifleman here, you know. I was a trooper, cavalry. We didn't have horses, Huey helicopters. Hey, we went in, you know, dropped guys off, picked up the dead, wounded, in blood and screaming. Anyways, and then I was on, when I was on ground, I was a trooper, and you see, that was, you really had to keep yourself down. So, I mean, it was pretty hairy. A lot of people seen stuff like that. Like, say, there was one movie put out, whatever the movie actor did. I was a soldier, 7th Cav, Durang Valley, where they really got beat up bad, and that show was pretty well what it's like in a real firefight.
So you saw a lot of combat.
Yeah, oh yeah. Lots of good people, friends, you know, 1 minute, next minute. And then...
How did you survive it?
Lucky, I guess, you know. I know. I think I would, in a way, how to survive it was, I wasn't worried about getting killed. What scared the hell out of me would be to wake up and I got one leg, or no legs, or burnt up like a bad barbecue. You know, that would really do it. But get killed, bang, it's like going to sleep, you might say.
Because the injuries you saw firsthand what those injuries would be like.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you one. All I know. After a while, in there, you never walk, go down trails, go through the bush, because booby traps or whatever. All I knew, he stepped on a mine. It's called a Bouncing Betty. It looks like 3 prongs coming out of the ground like this. Touch one, it explodes, but it bounces up the ground waist high. And when it explodes, it's like ball bearings and stuff in there. It's meant to take you off from the torso take your privates off or whatever. But he had that. He was on the ground from here, on the ground, and his torso and legs were behind him, screaming his head off. Well, this lasted not too long, because bleed out so fast there. But when you take a whole bunch of people in the helicopter, hot LZ, and small arms firing, and then you pick up people, you know, bring them back, okay? Evac, they had evac helicopters, but still, you bring back, okay? And there was screaming, lots of blood. Guys missing bodies and dead people.
Was there morphine or something to give them right away?
Oh, they give them like that, but you know, even morphine, the pain is killing, but you just imagine, your legs are gone or something like that, eh? No foot, you know, even no pain, but you just imagine.
So, you know, is it what you expected? Because you didn't have to go. You went.
No,
to
I did. You know, I wanted to do what a soldier does, eh?
Right.
Fight for his country or fight for, you know, common good, you might say. You know, over there was all to do with communism, eh? But you know, they got out, you know, just like the Russians in Afghanistan. They had their Vietnam. They couldn't do it. They moved out. You know, the Afghanistan's been fighting there in the hills since Adam bit the apple, eh? You know, they couldn't get him out. Same as there, you know. I mean, well, like one spot, the Marines. It was Kaesong. It was a hill. They had a runway up there and everything. The control, eh? The NVA, the regular army, North Vietnam, okay? They wanted it, and the place was surrounded, like 4,000 Chinese, and so many Marines up there, eh? There was a fight, you know? I've heard from the guys, you know, some guys there, you know, like, not sleeping up there at night, there was nothing, eh? Rats bigger than puppy dogs, you know.
When you get together with the riflemen here, do you share stories of combat?
Not so much. Queen's Own fellas, sure. They, you know, back, you know, Second War, First World War, Korea. They didn't get into Queen's Own. Didn't get in much as Americans, of course. But there's fighting there and everything else. But the ones I know, right? Canada, Germany. Oh yeah, I said you know Germany, and then the Cyprus. Kind of a police action in Cyprus. It was like a referee. The Turks and the Greeks, eh? And some went to Middle East, you know, training and stuff like that, eh? And Titus, he went to the Middle East. He was the discipline and stuff like that, and they're teaching, you know, training other people, you know? No, into a really firefight, eh? You know, but you know, I wanted to. I thought it was in the Queen Zone and out. You know, it's fine, great. You know, did a lot of things, but it was boring. So I wanted to do something exciting.
You were looking for.
So then, when I changed, we went to Cyprus, ran into China, and then I see. It was not too much fighting, you know, for art, but what was happening there, the injustice, the cruelty they did over there, and communism, and so when I come back, I joined the American Army, Air Cav, and that was exciting. Scary too, so, but exciting. Yeah. Then, when I finished up, I got out the armed forces, and I wanted to do something, nothing violent. I was trained in culinary arts, eh? I was a master chef, baker, and ran kitchens, and cooked for a lot of people, and that was good. But it was almost like a war zone in the kitchen too, eh? You know? My nickname was the bear. You know, I was like a bear, walk into a bear's cave. You don't walk into a bear's cave. Bear will get you. So they nicknamed me the bear. They nicknamed me in the American Service, Air Cav, they call me, instead of my name, well, call me my name, but they call me, hey, Canada. Yeah. But there was a lot of Canadians there.
Were there?
A lot of, like myself, went down, then Canadians lived in the States of it, and on a green card, you're subject to draft. So a lot of them were over there. I bumped in this commissioner in Vancouver in the income tax. And he Canadian, and he was in the airborne because he was working in the States. You know, so, that's about it, you know.
And how do you feel about the 150th? Have you been connecting with people you haven't seen in a while?
Yeah, well, I see most of them. I see most of them every last Wednesday of the month at noontime at the Gorge Road Legion. We have a luncheon there, eh? And, you know, 40 or more there. The older fellows, you know. But, we have lunch and yap. We see quite often, eh? But the people around. In New Westminster, I live.
You live there now?
Yeah. And I wear my beret all the time, Queen's Own badge. And I run into a lot of Queen's Own guys, you know. We're not an association, you know, whatever. And some get emails and stuff like that, but they're not an association. They don't want to be, but I run into quite a few, you know. And I get compliments about the beret. Some good-looking gals, they say, no kidding, they say, oh, I like your hat. I say, it's not a hat, it's a beret. Well, whatever, I like your hat, you know. And then I went to one in Nanaimo, Bill Brayshaw, he's the president of the Legion there, eh? Number 10. Then on the way back, you know, you're sitting up in the ferry, you know, talking to a couple of guys you're talking to, and talking about, I says, I don't know, it's my age or the hat or what. All these women, they smile at me. I guess they figure I'm safe because I'm, you know. But then I said, they always smile at me. And this then, three nuns. One smiled at me, you know. And I said, see, even nuns smile at me. It's funny. That's about it. And now I don't do anything, eh? I live in the Legion Manor, and I go here and there sometimes. Go sky training to Vancouver, and snoop around or whatever. You know, I lost my wife a few years ago, and anyways, I got 8 grandchildren, but I'm. I married my second wife, and she had 4 girls, you see. And then the girls, they had babies. And so I was like a step-grandfather, but I was still grandpa to them.
You know, yes.
I was still grandpa to them.
Yeah.
Especially when they sleep over, when they're little ones like that.
Yeah.
Grandma would give them a bath, and they'd come run. You know when the little ones have the funny walk? They all have the funny walk.
Yeah.
Right? When they run, eh? They come out there. Just with a towel running into the living room, and I dry them off, you see, and help them on with their pajamas. You know, dry them off, and the other stuff they get themselves, you see?
Yeah.
Drying off purposely. And then we have a little snack, and I get them in their pajamas and their nightie, whatever. And they like to sleep in the living room on their foam and their, Shelly and her sister, Janine and her sister. So cute. And then have a bite to eat, and then we sit down and read a book. And then we put them in our bed, and they go to sleep. Then when we want to go to bed, I pick them up one at a time. And one looks at me, like this, and the little, you know, the arm goes around you, you know, cut, and take them in there like so, you know, these little ones are so beautiful.
It's wonderful, nothing like it.
Baby, you know, like little ones there, you know, little ones, you know, when you got kids.
I do, they're not so little, 12 years old and 10 years old.
Oh, that's nice. But when they're little ones, yeah, when you give them a bath and clean them up, you know, they smell so beautiful. Yep. No kidding, they're so beautiful. Love them.
Yeah.
And the little ones, they can tell. They can tell right away. I'll tell you one funny one. My one of the grandchildren's boy, Brent. You know how the little ones, when they learn your first name?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You're sitting on the couch. He goes like this. Hey, Jim, come sit down beside me. I got something to discuss with you. Discuss with you. And I had a little limousine thing, you know. I said, okay, what do you know, what's up? He says, I want you next day or so to pick me and my friend up and take us to the Dairy Queen. The limo. They cracked me up.
And I bet you took them.
Well, I like telling them stories, you see. And the girls, I tell them a story. Like one time, I float on my back, you see. In Vancouver, I went, fell asleep, and I woke up in Hawaii. And just bathing suit, no money. Eh? So I had to phone home to get some money out so I can take the plane and get home. And then they say, is that true, Grandma? Is that true, Grandma? She would say, no, right? And so every time I tell a story after that, they go to the grandma and ask if it's true. I like telling big stories.
I wonder if I could just get your picture.
Oh, sure.
Okay.